Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we are committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Thanks for listening to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Joshua Von Wheeler and Johnny Danger. How are you guys tonight?
Driving.
Fantastic.
Josh is driving back to Florida from Atlanta, so he may not sound as crisp and clear as he usually does tonight. But I know you wanted to mention something last week that you forgot to mention, Josh. So.
I want to give kudos out to two guys. First of all, John Schuyler, we had on the show a few months ago. I don't remember what episode it was, but go check that one out. He was in the finals of the very coveted ECWA Super 8 tournament. Many, many years ago, the Super 8 tournament was the launching pad for guys like Loki, Chris Daniels, I believe Brian Daniels might have been one of the first ones. Xavier was a big star that came out of those things, and Florida Walker has been featured in as well. And that is a huge tournament, a huge honor for him to be able to go up there to Delaware, work for Mr. Kettner, to make it to the finals is quite the accomplishment. And the second one I want to phrase this piece before we really get going is Andrew Alexander. Andrew is a very unheralded talent that's worked at NWA Wild Side/Anarchy. He worked for me at PWE as part of the Hollywood Brunettes with Kyle Matthews, and he has been doing a tremendous job as the booker and one of the top guys in Rossville for Empire Pro Wrestling. He lost in retirement match to Sean Tempers this past weekend at the Tooth & Nail 3 event up in Rossville, Georgia. And unfortunately, I was working at the UIW show, so I was unable to attend that show, but and Andrew does not like me. There's some business history between the two of us, but I've always had the utmost respect for him, and he is quite the talent, and it sucks that he's retiring, but I'm hoping he's staying on as a booker. I've not heard any of that stuff. I hope he's just going to take more of a backstage role because Empire's killing it. If you guys are not keeping up with Empire Wrestling in Rossville, then you're not a wrestling fan because that might be one of the best shows in Georgia right now. Kudos to him. Kudos to Dan Wilson for all they do up there. Kudos to Tank and Ace Rockwell, shot there for that entire crew is unbelievable. And you're starting to see a lot of those guys actually get out, branch a little bit more, like Joey Lynch we had on the show, and Matt Fortune, and there's just so much talent up there, and they're doing real good business. Andy Alexander is one of those guys that, you know, maybe he's not a top guy, but he could always be a top guy, and he's always wanting to know when's the time to kind of tweak it a little bit. He was a Hollywood brunette for a while, and then he was, you know, the Hollywood Axel from there, and then he did that whole gimmick with the Dragon, the Devil's Rejects. It was tremendous business up there in Rossville, and kudos to him for everything he's been doing.
Another thing we should mention, which you mentioned the name Bordell Walker. He, of course, had a dark match for WWE last Tuesday against Titus O'Neil. I guess it was before the main event tapings, which take place before SmackDown tapings, so it was not televised. But I have seen like some cell phone footage stuff of it that people posted on YouTube, and it looked like it was a pretty good match. So hopefully that means something is coming for Bordell Walker and WWE.
Yeah, actually, I heard a little bit about that. That they were very, very happy with how he did his tryout, and it's not going to surprise me if he's in Orlando in a few weeks for at least a few more tryouts, or maybe a week long type tryout, similar to what Kevin Steen and Drake Younger had recently with you know, the NXT program. And Bordell's a great talent, and I think, you know, if he can get that, you know, developmental deal, he's one of those guys that has really worked hard to get it. He travels to, you know, every show they will possibly use him. He's, you know, he's worked for Platinum. He's worked for Rampage. I think he's been up the Wild Side a few times back when they were first getting started. He did Ring of Honor Michigan years ago. He did IWA Mid-South. He's done Saul in Tennessee. He did TCW out in the Arkansas area. He goes everywhere, and he's quite a talent. And, you know, best of luck to him if he does the contract.
Absolutely. Well, of course, tonight our guest is the Natural Chase Stevens, who will be calling in about 10 minutes. But we've got another caller. I believe I know who it is. Let's see if I'm correct. Who's this? You're on Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello, this is Chicken Hat.
Chicken Hat, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. I'm listening to your show right now. And I have to tell you that I was at the SmackDown tapings, and the event you speak of concerning Titus O'Neil and Bordell Walker, I saw this occurred immediately following the main event taping and right before the SmackDown taping.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Titus O'Neil won that one.
How was the match? Like, did Bordell do okay? Like, you know.
Oh, he put up a good fight. I have to say that.
All
that's
right. Well, how was the rest of the show?
Oh, rest was all right, especially the main event at SmackDown. It was kind of like one cop over the another. The main event was Sheamus versus Baptista, which was taped for SmackDown. He lost that match. However, afterwards, as Baptista was leaving the arena, he turns around and says that him and Sheamus have a last man standing, which, fortunately, Sheamus won.
Interesting.
All right. Well, did you catch any other wrestling over the weekend, Chicken Hat?
Well, I went to Saw this Friday, and fortunately, we have a new champion. The NWA Saw title was on the line. It was a lumberjack match. It was former champion Jason Kincaid taking on Lance. I can't remember his last name. He won that title. Lance did, that is to say.
Does Bordell still wrestle at Saw very often?
No, he hasn't been there in quite some time. Not since last year, when the two Saws merged, and I think that was before it was an NWA entity.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you calling and listening every week.
By the way, before I forget, last week I was asked about Jeff Jarrett's new wrestling federation. I found out the name is Global Force Wrestling. That's the name of it. I forgot to mention that last week. And basically, that's all I know. I've been trying to look for further information. It hasn't come up yet.
We need Trent Van Dreese to give us a call. You got Trent Van Dreese's number there, Mr. Chicken Hat?
No, I don't. Sorry.
That's okay.
Well, unfortunately, that's all it seems like anybody knows about Jeff Jarrett's project is the name of it, and that there's a website that is not that impressive.
Yeah, they got a website up. They got T-shirts that are out now, and they announced, I guess, last week that some producer who has helped produce the Biggest Loser has signed on. And then I saw, you know, and I don't know how, like, official it is, but I saw some comments from someone that might be working on the show who said they're going to present wrestling differently than WWE or TNA does because they're not going to do match after match after match, which didn't make any sense to me. If the guy knew anything about the wrestling business, you would know that WWE very seldom does match after match after match. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
I hear they're accepting applications, too.
Yeah, has the Platinum Crusader got his resume together and sent anything out?
You know, I'm not on a day-to-day basis with the Platinum Crusader, but I got a feeling he's happy where he is right now.
Oh, come on. The Platinum Crusader can't be happy just being a math guy at PCW.
Who says he's not doing other things that we just don't know about right now, kind of like Santa Claus.
Oh, okay. I got you. So it's kind of like, what's the character, Professor Chaos from South Park?
There you go.
What about the Rock and Roll Models? They get their resume and their headshots together and get some matches together for a Troll Double J.
You never know what's going to happen with the Rock and Roll Models. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, there was some other big news that I'm so thrilled to announce this. Ring of Honor is going to do pay-per-view.
I saw that. A live pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. 4 years ago, they were the first ones to really do iPay-per-view, and now they're going backwards. It's like, hey, WWE is going to the Internet. Let's not go to the Internet. Let's go to cable and satellite providers, because all of our fans love cable and satellite.
Well,
I shouldn't diss them, because, you know, it is a big step from a business standpoint, but knowing where Ring of Honor was 2008, 2009, to see them do this to me, it's a huge setback. Just my opinion. If WWE is already seeing that there's value in the Internet, why would you say there's no longer value in the Internet? But that's just my opinion.
Now, did they not have a lot of technical issues with their IPPVs lately?
Well, they did, and that's because, again, they're a corporate-ran entity that was refusing to spend money on updating their cameras and maybe, I don't know, getting actual Wi-Fi in the buildings and having an actual, like, truck that could do this stuff. Which, if you actually heard Jim Cornette's kayfabe commentary, did it a few months ago, where he pretty much said, if these guys would have spent half of the money they spent to fail miserably, they could have done the thing right the first time.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But, you know, it is what it is. They're a TV company, and that's all they're really used for. And Joe Koff, I think his name, has found another way for them to make a few bucks. But that's the thing, it's going to be a few bucks, because I can't see them getting more than 5,000 buys.
Well, do you think they'll do better than TNA in pay-per-view?
No. Look at their roster compared to TNA's. And it's not that TNA's like a freaking all-star roster, but at least TNA's got guys that look like professional wrestlers, like Bobby Roode and James Storm and, you know, Abyss. Ethan Carter III is actually one of my favorite characters on TV right now. Magnus looks like a star. Samoa Joe looks like a star. These guys look like wrestlers. You turn on Ring of Honor and you got boys doing cool moves. Speaking of cool moves, you need your official cool moves t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/ He's Got a Gun. That's right. The podcast might be dead, but the entertainment conglomerate is still together. So get your cool moves t-shirt. Cheap plugs, my own product.
Taking a page out of Mick Foley's book, I see.
I'm trying.
Well, Johnny Danger.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Did you go to any wrestling shows over the weekend?
I did not. I know a few interesting things happened at PCW, of course. I am not allowed there.
You gotta give me the dirt. I need the dirt. Come on, what's the dirt?
The dirt is, it looks like we have seen the last, unfortunately, of the grown-ass man, De La Vega.
He's retiring?
He's not retiring. He's moving to California to pursue some other interests. He had a fantastic match against Chip Day for the heavyweight title and just came up a little short. If they really is gone for good, it's going to be a big blow to PCW. He's been there for a while. He was instrumental in the early days of my career, and he's a hell of a guy.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the ones that when I was kind of scouting talent for Rampage, he was one of the ones that I felt like, you know, he just needs a little bit of salt and pepper put on to season a little bit, and I think that he could have been a really great junior heavyweight, light heavyweight, cruiserweight talent. And, hopefully he'll get out there in California and try to keep up doing some kind of wrestling. But, wow, that is crazy.
Yeah, not that I'm the most experienced guy around, but I've never seen anybody go so quickly and so credibly from the mid-card to the main event as De La Vega did. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he was doing good business for you guys. His feud with Supernatural was drawing some pretty nice houses down there in Porterdale. And, you know, he's got the charisma. I mean, that's the one that got me was, like, when he does that little dancing they used to do when he was, you know, working the face side, like, they loved him. I mean, the crowds loved doing the dance. They loved getting with him. And I know you guys did that, I cannot remember the name of your guys' group. What was it?
We were the Surrealists.
Yes, and you guys did some of the best impersonations of all time.
It was a blast. You know, there was no better way to break in and become an instant star. And Vega, if you're listening, man, thank you.
Well, I'm sad to hear he's going, but we have our guests, I believe, is now on the line. That, as I mentioned earlier, is the Natural Chase Stevens. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing all right. You're on with Josh Wheeler, Johnny Danger, and myself, Jonathan Williams.
Hey, I'm actually driving to Tampa, so if you have a problem hearing me, just let me know and I'll repeat any of my questions. If you guys want to ask him first, or Jonathan, you want to sell where he's going to be at, just go ahead and do that, and then I'll get to ask my questions.
Yeah, I'm curious about this show you're doing in Georgia on Saturday, Titanium Wrestling Federation, I believe it's called.
Yeah, I've yet to be at that show. You know, there's all kinds of new indies popping up left and right all over the place, and they had contacted me about coming in to doing one of their shows, and I think it's in Columbus, Georgia, am I correct?
Yeah, which has been a bit of center of controversy, mild controversy, I guess. There's a couple of other shows.
Not good controversy at all.
But I think
I don't know the politics going on. Yeah, I don't know the politics going on around the area.
Just a small story short. A lot of the shows that have popped up in Columbus the past like 2-3 years have been very, very bad shows.
Well, I know that. I got kind of a funny story. We'd come down a few years back. It's probably been four years ago, me and Shane Williams. And he had went out and he worked the locker room and he worked the crowd because, you know, we didn't know the people in the locker room and a lot of them didn't have proper gear and stuff like that. So
right.
We went in and he's like, you know, I'm going to pull the booker aside. I'm going to work the booker and, I'm just going to look like you shoot and we'll just see who does what. So he goes out there and gives the booker, like, you know, what looks to be a shoot pile driver, picks him up, gives it to him again. We told the booker, don't move. If you move, like, we're going to run out there and fucking really give it to you. So this guy played dead the whole time, right? I mean, the whole time, where they call the ambulance, like, crowd members are crying and freaking out. Locker room pulls a knife on Shane, ready to gut him. So my match is coming up, which I had no idea this was going on in the locker room next door to me. So I go out to the ring with my ring entrance, the side door comes opening up, and Shane Williams comes running in the side door like zombies are after him. He's like scared shitless, comes running in, slides in the ring. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, it's a shoot. Like, they're trying to stab me. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I look over it, and it's like probably, I would say, 25 arms trying to reach in the door at the same time. They're all trying to run through the door at the same time. I have no idea what's going on. I'm just like, holy cow. So, you know, I have to jump out of the ring, get on the microphone. I have to cut a promo on what ends up being the locker room, which I had no idea that that's who I was cutting the promos on right there. And then I get back in the ring, and I finish my match with who was I working? I can't remember who I was working at the time. But afterwards, I had to – it was like I had to grab Shane Williams by the hand and walk him out like he was my little kid, and we had to go get in the car all nice and gently. I had to buckle him in his seatbelt and drive off, you know. Good times. That was the last time I was in Columbus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which promotion was that? Is it still around?
I wish I could tell you. I have no idea what the name of it was. I got my money, though. I got paid. So.
Wow.
Well, I believe this is the first show for Titanium TWF. So they're pulling in. They've got you. They've got Chick Donovan, Melissa Coates. Who else did I see working that show? A few other names, and then some names that I'm not that familiar with.
Well, it sounds like a decent card. Then I haven't even. I don't know if I just haven't been paying attention on the internet or anything like that, but I haven't seen any advertisements for it on my end of it. So
I've heard nothing about it at all. When he told me that you were coming into Columbus, I was like, oh wow, that's a pretty good gig for whatever promotion is, but I hadn't heard anything about it. So
I look forward to it. They have paid me up front, so I've already been paid, they've already given me my address and what time to be there, so I'll be there.
All right, and it looks like you're taking on Scotty Bullwinkle. Is that someone you're familiar with?
No. I don't know. I don't know anybody anymore. It's just random if I run into somebody I even ever have known a day in my life when I'm wrestling. That's, you know how the indies are. There's people pop up and jump out and pop up and jump out, and you got 1,000
yep.
indie workers and only 100 of them that ever really prosper to become something. The rest of them, you know, just they fall out here and there. So I don't have a clue who anybody is.
But speaking of which, you're one of the only guys in the past few years that really, you know, made it through the indie system and then got to TNA, got to WWE for a little bit. You know, what was that like to finally break the ceiling a little bit and get, you know, that massive, you know, national exposure?
Well, see, I broke in the business right when all the encyclopedias were out there. I mean, there wasn't a show that I went on that wasn't just a locker room full of TV talent. I mean, everybody in the world.
Right.
WCW was just going under. ECW was getting ready to break down and fall under, so people's already jumping ship on that. And, you know, that 97-98 era, like, that's when I come in. So I was just learning off everybody, and I didn't realize what kind of experience I was getting, but I was learning not just how to wrestle, but I was learning how to do business and how to get to a show, how to hustle with the 8x10s and the T-shirts and things like that, and how to make a living being a wrestler, where nobody knows how to do that today. So for the last, you know, 15, 16 years, I haven't had to have a shoot job, and I've lived comfortably off just professional wrestling, which I don't really know anybody in the world that can say that today. I mean, even people with TNA right now, you know, some of them have even got shoot jobs underneath, you know. So I still live comfortably just being an indie worker and traveling around and working the system. So, you know, I didn't really ever have, like, that great exposure from TNA, and I never got anything exposure-wise. Like, you know, I got, you know, my name got in a few little tabloids or my name got stuck on the internet here and there with WWE, but I never had that big moment of fame, you know, to
right.
come out and sign the contract and things like that. So you know, and for me to be up in and making that kind of money to where I can support, number one, to make it to the next town, and number two, like, have a house and have a family and you know, like, people in my life, I'm the only one that has to work because I make enough money, so it's you know, nobody else can say that in the United States that I know of. So I feel I'm kind of patting myself on the back for that, because, you know, you got Shane Helms and Matt Hardy and all those guys. They're making good money, but they were top talents on TV, and they don't have to hustle where I never had that exposure to have that. So, you know, they're making it, and they don't need a shoot job or anything like that. But where somebody like me, where TNA it just come on Spike TV whenever I was there. You know, I had a year or two run on Spike TV before having, you know, poor outing with that. And, you know, I still make it. So, actually, I make more money now than what I did when I was on TV.
Oh, wow.
Well, obviously,
well,
a lot
of things like TNA. I think you said, and I think I saw on your Twitter that, you know, you are living the dream. And anybody that's involved in wrestling in some shape or form wishes that they could pull, even if it's just like $400 or $500 a week, where they can, you know, at least pay the bills and say, I'm doing this full time. So you're probably making a lot more than that. But I mean, that's just, you know, that's almost $27,000-$30,000 a year. That's some real job. So, you know, at least, like you said, you're getting to do what a lot of people can't. And that's got to be, like, you know, really cool, I think, you know, considering the show that you kind of went through, like you said. And you did it as a tag team. And that's something like, you know, two of my best friends were in a tag team, and they've been to the tag team for a while. How do you feel about tag team today, and why do you feel that the business is kind of, like, shied away from tag team wrestling, even since you guys were on TV last?
I wish I could answer that correctly and tell you why tag teams are at a downfall right now, because you're not everybody I've ever talked to in my life loves tag team wrestling. They love it.
Oh yeah, I love it. I'm a mark for tag team wrestling.
Everybody is. They all got that kid still inside of them for the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, you know, the Rockers, everybody
yeah.
has somebody, you know, where Legion of Doom, fucking all this. And that, at that time era, like, tag team wrestling was the top. I mean, it was it. And I feel that they shied away over money issues just because you have four guys in the ring instead of two. And, you know, there's always – you can't have two equal guys ever in the ring. It's just the way life works. So you'll never have a complete twin brother. And so you have one that's more of a screw-up than the other one, and, you know – so they're already having outs in the car and things like that. And it's just hard to keep tag team wrestling together as a whole on a business side. You know, but back then, those guys were in the car 7 days a week. They were complete family members at all times. They were married to each other. And still to this day, you know, Ricky and Robert and all that, they all get along. I mean, they might have their
right.
outs here and there and you hear about it, but they get along. And yeah, I think they've been around each other more than they've ever been around their parents in their life or kids or wives or anything like that. So that's saying a lot, because most people can't even stay together in a marriage today, let alone two guys together stuck in the car 7 days a week driving down the road, having the ups and downs of money, and this guy got paid more tonight than I did, and this guy I feel like might have stole off of me. You gotta have a big trust with your, you know, your significant other as a tag team,
right.
you know, and you know, whenever me and Andy, we didn't ever choose to be together. I mean, me and Cassidy was the ones that signed with TNA, and Cassidy and TNA had the falling out at the time, and then they brought Andy in and asked me if I would tag with him, and I had already saw him on the indies a few years prior, and he was just a young kid. I was a young kid, but he was younger than I was, in my eyes. And we was the same age, but I didn't know that. Like, I'd been around a few years before that, and his wrestling talent hadn't come up yet when I first saw him. So when they brought him into TNA and told me he was going to be my tag partner, I was like, oh, my God, I can't win, you know. But after we got on the road, we went on the road that weekend, and, man, we just clicked. Like, we hit it off. We was good friends, and you know, years and years later, you know, we still got along, and just everything, we never really choreographed anything. We just went out there and did what we did, you know, and that was Candido whenever he got put with us. That was his major thing with us. He was like, man, he was like, you guys have it. You guys know what you're doing. You can keep everybody on track. You know what cameras are working, where to go to, how to feed somebody, how to make them look good. He goes, you guys don't even talk about it. You guys sit in the back and just bullshit all day long and then go out there and pull this shit. I'm like, that's just how we've always been, you know? And he's like, that's what wrestling's about right there. Like, you guys have it where everybody else has to get here at noon and choreograph it and really come up with what camera's going to be on when and what rope to go to do this and this and that. And he's like, you guys just know. I'm like, well, you know, we got good peripheral. We can see what red light's on the TV. We know what, you know, how to go offset of that and what ropes to come off of and how to get our moves over and how to get the baby face or the heel or whatever it is, how to get heat, you know, how to be a baby face and sell to the crowd, or how to get heat with the crowd and get the baby face over. It's just, it's an easy psychological move with me and Andy back then, and it worked, you know, and it's still talked about today, so we did something right.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing, like, your guys' feud with AMW is probably one of the best tag team feuds of the past decade, especially in the 2000s, like, on a national level. But, and I might lie, like, I was actually a bigger fan of the Hot Shots than I was the Naturals, because I thought your guys' name might have been coming from Eddie Gilbert. And I was such a mark for Eddie Gilbert that I thought, oh, man, these guys might be Eddie Gilbert fans. That's how I became a fan of you guys, and started really, like, following your guys' career a little bit when I was a little bit younger. You said you got into the business in, like, 97, so you were, like, right there when the Internet first started booming. How do you feel about the Internet as a whole since you were kind of there when it first started? And do you think it's hurt the business?
No, I don't think it has. Like, so many people say that. I think we've just let a lot of people into our little circle of wrestlers, and we smartened up the wrong people over money issues, because there's only one major promotion out there today that you can make money, real money at. And everybody who's starving's training somebody, trying to get extra money for their families. And now we've got this big collage of what is called a professional wrestler today out there. And they're not pros. They barely know anything about the art of wrestling. And it's just, it's ran over. And I feel like those people, you know, have gotten upset, and they go on the internet and they tell, you know, it's just that we've washed the community down with what I consider backyard wrestlers, and they've all went to the internet talking and telling their stories and breaking kayfabe, and now the magic trick's out of the box, and here's, you know, a handful of us trying to put it back in the box. It's not ever going to go back in the box. You just got to adapt to the times. So I don't think the internet hurt us. I think the real professional wrestlers hurt themselves, 15, 20 years ago, when we started just bringing people in our locker room that didn't belong and showing them the magic trick. You know, I go to shows today and, you know, little kids just walk in the locker room, come up and talk to me and sit around, take pictures with me while I'm in the locker room and things like that. And that, you know, that shouldn't be allowed, because – not that I didn't watch wrestling growing up, so it caught me, it was a lot, you know, wrestling found me, I didn't find wrestling, but I hear all the stories, and I've been around long enough now that, you know, I know that didn't go on back in the day. You know, everything was like, that locker room was a sanctuary, and they didn't let people in, and there was a bunch of badasses in that locker room, and you come in, they scare the shit out of you. So, it's not that way anymore, you know, it's, younger kids in the locker room, they're not men, what I consider men or tough guys or anything like that. They're really not scared to walk in the locker room. You know, a lot of these security guards bring the families in there and, you know, sit around and just like they're friends of yours or something. And it's, I think stuff like that is what's washed our business down on the internet.
No, and I actually, I 100% agree with everything you said, because I actually believe the internet is, it's just, it's another way of distributing your product. And like you said, if you don't tell them the magic trick, no one's really going to know what's going on. But you said the locker room, there's not a lot of real tough guys anymore. I was just in the locker room this past weekend doing a show for the first time in a long time, and I'm only like 5'9", maybe a little under 200. I'm a manager / announcer, and I'm bigger than half the roster, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on in the business? You know, it was like my first indication, like, what's going on? Like, when I first wanted to get in wrestling, I was too small to be a wrestler. And now I'm, like, too big to be a wrestler.
You're not too big to be a wrestler. So that's the problem with wrestling right there. You're exactly where you need to be. They're not. They shouldn't be wrestlers. That's the problem. And that's the problem with our business side of everything. You know, I still consider it a sport. When I go out there, my psychology in my head is a fight. Like, I believe in Chase Stevens, you know, like when I walk through that curtain, it isn't, you know, what am I trying to memorize and what do I have to dust this? Do I have to, where do I need to be? Nothing like that. Like, what would Chase Stevens do? Like, this is what I would do. I've been in many, many bar fights, and the psychology's there. Like, I ain't never seen a bad bar fight. I've always been entertained. It didn't matter how long it lasted. I was entertained. And that's what I'm going to give you out there. If there's something that I feel didn't look like it should be, like it's fake, I'm going to knock you out, and you're going to cheer regardless. So, you know, that's the way I was trained. You know, if I did something wrong back in the day, I mean, there was somebody sliding in the ring that was watching the match, and they're sliding in the ring, and they're just giving me boots. And I don't mean, like, slap your leg and stomp yourself, or I mean, like, kicking the shit out of me, telling me, get the hell in the locker room. And then when I got back there, I got scolded. And then I didn't come back to that promotion because I sold something wrong, and I made it look weak and things like that. And that's Martin's jump real fast. Like, shit, if I'm going to get paid to do this, I have to do it right. And there ain't no horsing around. This is a business. And those guys in that locker room was there to make money for their families, nothing more. And they didn't care about friendships and things like that. You know, a lot of them was friends because it was on the road every day together. But
man, right.
When I say badasses, they were badasses, each and every one of them.
You mentioned that wrestling found you. I know you have a boxing background. How did you go from boxing to wrestling, and what was it that made you want to get into wrestling?
I never watched anything growing up. I never watched any wrestling whatsoever. I amateured all through high school and did really well in amateur wrestling. But it was never like, I should be a wrestler. You know, I boxed since I was eight, and everybody in my whole life told me that I was just going to be this, you know, this Rocky. I was going to be this great big star. You know, I boxed everybody in Indiana and Kentucky that was ever anything of a professional, and I would school. I mean, it just, I had it, you know. And then I thought I was going to the Olympics. I went in the Army, did a little over a year in Fort Benning, Georgia, and in Germany. And then, but the reason I went in was for boxing. Like, I was supposed to be, what I signed up for was, you know, I was supposed to train 6 months out of the year in a gym and prepare myself for the Olympics coming up. Well, by the time I got a basic training, I gained 20 pounds on my legs carrying a rucksack around and all this other stuff, and I couldn't get it off. I wasn't even in my weight class anymore, and there was no way of getting back into it. Like, I was a big dude then, and I was supposed to be a little guy. You know, I was supposed to be 152 pounds, and it just wasn't working. So I ended up I never seen the gym either. So when I went in and had to talk with the commander about it, he pulled my paperwork, and, you know, some stuff hadn't got filed the way it was supposed to, and this and that, and I had the option of going home or serving my time, and I was like, man, I'm going home, like, screw this shit. So, you know, I got to come back home, and by that time, my boxing instructor passed away, and I was just old age, and, you know, I took over the boxing school, and I didn't have no connection, so I had to start reconnecting again. And I was too young to figure it out. Like, there were sharks out there in boxing and things like that, and I didn't know what I was doing at all. And I'm a kid running on my own, so I ended up doing some MMA fights out of St. Louis, and I ended up being on a show with Dan Severns. So Dan watched, I was the first fight. Dan had just got there, and I beat my guy really fast, and then when I was coming back, Dan stopped me and asked me if I'd ever thought about getting into wrestling. And, you know, I was like, nah, not really. And he's like, man, you got it. He's like, yeah, they got beat before you even walked out there. He's like, your charisma, and just, he thought you were somebody, man. He's like, just the way you walk to the ring and how you look. He's like, that guy's good. He's like, I know that guy. He's like, I could tell on his face, like, you had it, like, before you ever got in there. He's like, you ought to be a wrestler. I was like, what the hell does that pay? He's like, you get, you know, the thing is, you don't get your head beat in. You get to do it 7 days a week. I was like, well, shit, sign me up. So he gave me some numbers, and, you know, I got home and made some phone calls. We didn't have cell phones back then, you know, so I think they'd just come out, like car phones or whatever, where you had to plug it in a cigarette lighter, carry that little purse around with you. I didn't even have one of those, you know, I was poor. So so I got home and made some phone calls, and I called Mike Samples up, and he was running a school. So I went into his school, and I trained with him for about 6 weeks, and then I met Tracy Smothers. Smothers hated me, just madder than shit at me, because I didn't know anything about wrestling. I was in the ring with him, and he just beat the living dog shit out of me. Was mad as could possibly be at me. Broke my nose. You know, he's beating me on the guardrail. I don't know how to protect myself at this point in time, because I hadn't even got that far. I'm still just in the ring learning how to bump. I don't know what one wrestling move is called outside of just the normal body slam or something. I didn't even know how to do one of those. I got thrown in when I shouldn't have been thrown in and got my ass handed to me. But I let it go on because in my head, wrestling was fake. So I let Tracy beat my ass. I didn't fight back. I just tried to listen the best I could. And I learned that day. You know, I learned, like, man, I'm getting trained wrong. I need to go somewhere else. So Tracy felt bad afterwards after we got to talking. And he gave me the opportunity of a lifetime to jump in the car with him and go on the road. And so I did. I just jumped in with him and took off. And I didn't come home for 6 months or something like that. I mean, I was gone forever. Like, my house foreclosed, my electricity was shut off, they repoed my cars. Like, I didn't have no internet. We didn't have cell phones back then to pay your bills online and stuff like that. So nothing got paid. You know, I come home to nothing. And Tracy's like, well, let's break in your house and get all your furniture out and let's move you to Nashville. So we did. He moved me in with him, and I jumped back on the road with him, and he introduced me to Kurt Hennig, and Kurt took a liking to me, so I got a little polishing through Kurt Hennig, and then I got lucky and got in with Les Thatcher and Ricky Steamboat, doing some seminars around, and started going with them on that, and I just learned like so much on everybody. And right after that, there's talks with TNA starting up and things like that, and Bert Prentice was going to be like his promotion, the USA Championship Wrestling, was going to be the where you get Saul at. So I went down and I met Cassidy right then and there. Bert's like, man, you guys would be a good tag team, you know, this and that. And Cassidy's like, I already thought it out. Like, Bert's already told me all about you. Like, I'm going to call you the Hot Shot. They're going to be the Hot Shots and this and that. And I was like, well, shit, it's already set. Like, you know, so we've become Hot Shots. And we just, we clicked. Met Harrison Storm. They weren't a tag team yet, but since TNA saw them, they signed him as a tag team. They wrestled each other that night, signed him as a tag team, and then we just started traveling with him and just learning how to be tag team wrestlers, and all of us just doing this big click together and wrestling 5 days a week all over the place. So by the time TV had really started up, we'd already had a year of 5 days a week of beating the shit out of each other. And you know, you could tell on TV, like, the charisma and the chemistry that we had together.
Right. You've done some stuff with TNA again fairly recently. What was your experience like going back there for these shorter stays compared to when you were there several years ago?
Nothing. I mean, nothing really changed. It was their last day there, too. And we just got lucky and got that, that 10-year anniversary. And then since we was in such good shape and, we had matching gear and all that, we actually brought us in for the tag team tournament after that. So we got an extra payday out of it and got to stay an extra day. But it felt like everything was thrown together when I was there. They started the show about an hour early. And you know, I ain't got anything against TNA, but just sit down and get everything together. Like, just get the business together, you know. They have it. They have every possible opportunity to be a major competitor. And they got Spike TV. They got talent that's beyond talented. They just got to get everything together. Just get all their ducks in a row and quit trying to run off what has already happened in the past and come up and go their own direction and become their own product. And I think that's where they fight with each other as a company against, you know, their opposing, you know, big brother company. So.
Now we can go back to the beginning a little. If my research is correct, you spent some time working for Jerry Lawler in Memphis. What was that like? I've heard some good stories and some bad stories about working for Lawler.
Lawler's always been really good to me. He's one of the few that still do it today that I have 100% respect for. I mean, at his age and the things that he does in the ring, you know, even whenever I'm in there with him, it still baffles me. Like, you know, if he hit me the way I hit him at his age, I'm going to roll out and quit. Like, I'm done. You know, so, and he gives it his all every night. So I have a lot of respect for Jerry. His promotion was live on TV. So that was my first major experience with live outside of, it was early morning live too. So it isn't like we had all day to come up with things. There, you know, it was 10 a.m. live on TV and, you know, we wasn't getting there until 9 a.m. And by the time we got changed and even got a comfortable seat to sit in, it was like, you're on now. And 4 minutes, go. And you're like, who the hell am I wrestling? And I'm like, just go. And you're like, shit. I don't know what I'm doing. So, yeah, it was a very good learning experience. They'd come up with this name for us, Alternative Express. And when we're on our way down to Memphis, they call us that morning. It was like, hey, you guys got any rock star gear? And, you know, we want you guys to look like rock stars and this and that. I was like, we're already on the road. I was like, we do at the house, but we didn't bring anything with us. And Jimmy's like, that's okay. We'll pick you up some stuff. We'll get you, well, you know, it's like, we'll get you all dressed and get this going. He's like, we're wanting to do it today. So he's kind of like excited about it. He's like, man, this will be really cool. Jimmy's going to pick up our stuff and this and that. And man, we get there and they throw us two pairs of mesh pants, like Hardy Boy pants, and a Slipknot shirt and a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. And a can of white hair paint and blue hair paint and a purple lipstick. And I was like, there you go. I was like, what the fuck are we supposed to do with this? So Andy was like, man, don't say nothing. Like, we're going to get in trouble, you know, because there's always like the loud mouths and always cutting up and things like that. And Andy's like, just hush, like, let's go in the bathroom, change into this, cut him up, try to make him look as cool as we can. And he's like, Jimmy is like, grabs us, he's like, Lawler's going to do your guys' face paint, though, you know, and Lawler's like this great artist, you know, so I was like, man, this would be really cool, you know, Lawler's going to paint her face, you know, I heard about him doing Kamala and coming up with all this cool stuff back in the day. So, you know, Jerry's got a lot of stuff going on, and we're getting ready to go live, so we go in his locker room. We're like, hey, Jerry, we heard you was doing our face thing. He's like, yeah, sit down. We gave him this purple lipstick, and he puts a purple lipstick on Andy, like on his lips, and then he reaches over to me and puts this big circle around my eye, just a big circle, big purple circle. He's like, all right, guys, going out. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I was over Andy. I was like, I'm not wearing this shit. And he's like, did he just put it on my lips? That's all he did? I was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I got it. He's like, you got a big circle around your eye. I was like, let's go wash this shit off. So we got a hold of Athena. She was managing this at the time. We was like, man, you got any of that eyeliner, like that liquid stuff? And she's like, yeah. So she had a whole makeup bag full of stuff. So we went to the bathroom, just was as artistic as we could come and come up with something that, you know, it still haunts us to this day. It still looks like shit, but, I mean, that's the best we could do with what we was given. So it ain't like we had anything thought out. And we went out there and you know, we got our chance to, you know, wrestle PG-13 and the Moondogs and Too Cool. So we stepped foot in the ring with, you know, some legend tag teams and just being there, you know. So it was after looking back, it was a really good time, even though I was complaining about the purple lipstick stuff for a while, but other than that, I had a really good time here.
Now, this time last year, I think Cassidy was running a show out in the Louisiana area. It did very well, like house numbers. Is that still something you guys are planning on doing some more shows out there, or what's going on with that? And I saw you guys were on Doug Dynasty as well with some of those things too. So,
yeah, that all ran together. Cassidy lives in Monroe. West Monroe, where the Robinsons live, from Duck Dynasty. So
okay.
When Cassidy got that crew together, he had a film company get a hold of him, and they wanted to tape it because his advertisement was fantastic for an independent show. So they caught on to it, and it you know, whenever you're doing stuff with TV and things, you don't realize that there's independent wrestling out there. If you're not a fan of wrestling, you don't follow it. So they seen
right.
it, and they just think of WWE, like, you know, there's something big in town, this and that. So they got a hold of Cassidy, and they asked if they could shoot for it. So Cassidy's like, yeah, I'd love for you guys to come in and shoot my show. So, you know, it was a really good show, though. I mean, sold out, packed house. You know, I think there was 1,800 paid. There's 2,200 people total. And, I mean, it was a really good thing. It was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there was nothing around. I pulled in that day, and I was like, oh, my God, this thing's never going to draw. And then there's so many people, like, lined up at the door. Whenever they opened the doors, it was a good time. And then, you know, they videotaped for it. We come back and did another show. We did, like, an iPay-per-view there. The house was, like, a tad bit down. WWE was just in town the week before. And we still outdrew them by 200 people, though. So, and they were literally just right down the road. So, you know, we still kind of, even though it was down, it was still like a pat on the back, like, look what we did. And then Duck Dynasty got involved with it because they wanted to do that. They had all their family coming in, and they wanted to do something with wrestling because they watched wrestling growing up. And, you know, the TV camera guy was like, man, I know some wrestlers, you know, like, we went over and videotaped the stuff. So they got a hold of us, and, you know, we went into that deal for the Duck Dynasty, and we was there 2 days. We did like a 15-minute match. I know it only looked like 90 seconds on TV, but yeah. We did like a 15-minute match, and people don't understand, it was 26 degrees outside, and I was outside for 8 hours with no shirt on and a pair of underwear, you know, rolling around on a hard-ass mat in 26-degree weather in Louisiana. Now, they tell me it never snows in Louisiana, they're liars. So the only thing that kept me alive where I didn't feel like my heart was going to stop is I'd look over at Cassidy and I'd watch him in convulsions over there with his muscles twitching. And I was like, okay, he's way worse off than I am. So I'm going to actually pull through this. So he actually kept me warm just watching his muscles twitch and him going to convulsions while he was out there. And I was like, yes, this is your hometown, buddy. So I'm glad you're going through the same thing I am over here.
Now, you primarily work in the South, and I actually was talking to Rip Rogers the other night about you know, how the South is so different than the rest of America when it comes to wrestling. Do you feel that when you are in front of the Southern crowd that they still want this to be what they remembered in the 70s and 80s, or do you think that it's slowly starting to transition into being just like the Northeast?
I know that if you can bring a Ring of Honor down here, and they're going to draw because they're on TV, so, you know, they're going to put 1,000 people in a house, and, you know, it's going to look good. People's going to stand up here, and they're going to go through, you know, all the cool moves and everything. People's going to stay alive with it. But I know whenever Crossfire ran, we sold it out every time. And every time we went out there and did an old school match, it was everybody did an old school match, the hip tosses, the body slams, the arm drags, no cool moves at all. And every one of those people standing on their feet, you can watch the DVDs, every one of those people are standing on their feet just going crazy because we're characters. We're heels and we're baby faces.
Right.
And we sell the moves, and we make it look like it hurts, because it does. And, you know, those people feel us. And because, you know, the baby faces get out there, and they sign an autograph, and taking pictures with them, and getting personal with them, you know, they really do get behind us. You know, if, you know, like, if the heels getting real heat on us, and we're really selling, man, you watch these people, like, throw their chairs at them, and dump cups of water on them, and take swings at them. Like, yeah, it happens every show.
Yep.
And the thing with the South is, I don't know, I don't really understand it, but I've always stayed in the Nashville area, always lived here, because once I moved here, I realized I can hit all these other states and still make it home, you know, but I'm surrounded by different states, and I can really wrestle 7 days a week if I wanted to. I mean, there is a show every night of the week in this area. So if I really want, you know, if I needed that ring time, I can find it. Where anywhere else in the United States, you can't do that. You know, they wrestle a few times a month, and, you know, whenever they tell me they're a 10-year vet, they're equivalent to my training school, you know what I mean?
Right,
so,
yeah.
I know you were also.
I think Southern
in,
wrestling. Hold on just a second. I think Southern wrestling, like I said, I think it draws the people in. Like, WWE's like really big against Southern style wrestling, but when you really break it down and you think about it, anybody that's ever made money up there, they were all Southern style wrestlers. Now, they might have come from the North, but everything they did in that ring was a Southern style product that brought them money, and those were their, that's their top stars.
Yeah.
You know, it works. It really does work.
I mean, Jonathan, you had a question?
Yeah, I was saying you were also in a movie, at least one that I know of. How long ago did that come out?
I want to say it came out 2 years ago now. I shot it 3 years ago, about a year of production to get it all put together. It's called Chained, Code 207. It's a producer by the name of Tino Stuckerman out of California. And it's an action movie. It's about an airborne ranger that gets back and, you know, there's people kidnapping women and selling them overseas. Kind of like the movie Taken. So, but, you know, whenever I got hired to be in the film, I got Tommy Mercer involved in it, Crimson. And then, I got Skidmark, Ryan Howell, I got them in, just by talking to Tino, and he came to one of our wrestling shows and had seen me talk on the microphone and wrestle and all that. And he was like, man, you're perfect for the villain in my film. So I didn't get like the lead part, but I'm right underneath the lead guy. So I play a guy named Otto and got some pretty good fight scenes in that movie. I got to choreograph my own fight scenes. So did some little Jackie Chan shit in there, and it turned out pretty damn good. He's in a real prison here in Tennessee, the same one that did the Green Mile. And I just got to tear up some shit. They were just like, man, just use anything and do anything you want. And I was like, oh, man, my brain's like scattering, you know, I'm putting everything together. I'm like, oh, man, we're going to be here, flip over this. I'm going to pick up this table and throw it across the room. And, yeah, it's pretty good, though, man. I had fun doing it. It was my first – it was a low-budget movie, but 50% of – what the profit that come in was given to the women who had been kidnapped, and we had found them over time and got them back and everything like that, that had been sold as slaves overseas and things like that. So 50% went to them, and even though it was a low budget movie, I think it was just because we had the women, that women's rights group supporting us. I mean, it sold a lot. I mean, I know we gave them a $100,000 check, you know, so, you know, that's $200,000 of profit that came in. So, you know, for a low budget movie, you know, that we was all new at, it ain't like we was, you know, these great actors that was in this movie, you know, brought in quite a big thing.
Is that something you plan on doing more of?
Yeah, I got another one ready to shoot out of Minnesota. It's a German film that I'm getting ready to do, where I'll be a military guy in that, like a mercenary. And Tommy Mercer is on that with me, too. I got him involved in that. And then I put some stuff in, and I took 3 years acting class back whenever I left TNA. So I got that underneath my belt anyways, but I sent in some resumes to certain things, and I've got picked up on a lot of stuff, but wrestling gets in my way, and I, you know, I do make quite a bit of money doing it, so I have to turn down what I get hired on sometimes. But, I got that set up. The producer works, you know, he kind of gets with me on everything, so he'll give me, you know, 3 months out, hey, we're going to shoot this, what weeks, you know, can you work with me? And I have enough time to get a hold of my promotions and rearrange everything where I can do everything. And sometimes they fly me in and out of it, so I can still hit my shows if it's a bigger show. So, you know, I like working with some of these TV promotions, because, you know, a movie or whatever, movie promotions, because then they really do cater to my needs, and I can't complain about that, you know?
Right.
It's not like wrestling. They're like, well, if you ain't here on time, then you're fired. Oh, my gosh.
All right, well.
Since you're in the Tennessee area, you work for Jarrett, I'm sure your name has come up in some conversations. Do you know much about his new promotion? Have you been contacted about it?
Well, I thought I knew a lot a few months ago, but I haven't heard anything since those days, and now more stuff's come out, you know, so you guys actually know just as much as I do about it. I talked to Jeff. I actually wrestled him a few months ago, and, you know, we stayed in contact since TNA days, and, you know, we still get along great and have a good friend, I guess, talks. So, yeah, I've been in touch with him. I don't know what all is going on. Like I said, I'm still in the dark, the same as everybody else is. And I find out the same as you guys find out, you know, by reading the internet. So, yeah, he hadn't told me much, but I have been in talks with him, pretty in-depth talks. So hopefully something good pops up out of it, and, you know, I'll be back on national TV sometime soon. So.
Well, in the meantime, where else will you be wrestling in the next week or two?
Let's see. I got Pigeon Forge, Tennessee this Friday. I got Columbus, Georgia. Saturday. I'm somewhere in Kentucky Sunday. And then I got some Puerto Rico stuff coming back up. I fly over to Puerto Rico for a week. It's a new promotion. It's been up and going for a few years now. It's EWO. I just won their heavyweight title there. So I'll be going back and forth there for a while. But, you know, Puerto Rico seems to be turning around. You know, the last few years you haven't heard anything much about it. And I'm going over there being an asshole that I am. And, you know, I'm hoping to draw some money over there, you know, and help out that, you know, the Puerto Rican culture of wrestling. Because, I mean, that goes back decades, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. Now, is that the Savio Vega promotion?
No, that's WWC. That's
okay,
he's
that's
back
right. Yeah,
Carlos
he took over Cologne. That's right.
Yeah. So
this is that new one that kind of popped up to like AAA. Was that what they're affiliated with?
I think they have like a mutual trade-off over there.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure. I don't speak a lick of their Spanish at all. I can barely speak English, so I, you know. Anyways, so whenever they're talking, like, they could be cussing me like a dog for all I know right in front of me. But I just got a smile on my face acting like I know what the hell they're saying. So, they seem to be doing pretty good. WWC does. EWO, like I said, it's a newer company that's coming up. But, I mean, their television looks immaculate. Like, because I was trying to catch up on them when I went over there and see who was all on the roster and things like that, and so I pulled up some of the stuff on YouTube, and man, the TV just it's bright and it's high def and it looks good. So when I got over there, you know, that's exactly how it was. I mean, it was really professional in the locker room, and I was very pleased to be there, and you know, it wasn't some crappy company. It's a real, you know, it's a professional ran company that I was pretty proud to say, you know, I got to wrestle for. And hopefully, you know, I can be a part of their history of building them up and, you know, getting that Puerto Rican population back in and getting them to, you know, love their culture, where, because I'm that dirty American just beating the shit out of you all the time, you know. So,
are you still working with WrestleForce up in South Carolina?
I am. I was just there last Sunday. I went in for WrestleForce. Did a benefit for them, so. I ended up dropping the title. I didn't get my wrestling license renewed the way I should. It just sucks whenever that January rolls around. Like, you know, you got, I don't even know what all states have, you know, wrestling licenses anymore or commissions or anything like that. So until I'm getting booked on it, and they're like, hey, did you get renewed? And I'm like, no. Shit. You know, so I got to send in my application. It's just a headache. You got like 12 different states you got to send in applications to, and some of them you got to have physical, some of them you got to have HIV tests, some of them hepatitis tests. You know, it just depends. And just finding time to throw all that together at the last minute when you're like, oh, yeah, it is January. You know, you just had Christmas come up and New Year's, and I'm hungover for a week after that. So, so yeah.
So if anybody wants to book you, what's a good way to reach you? Email, if you go through an agent or anything? Or
My website's just getting put back up. It's thenaturalchasestevens.com. It should be up this week. You can email me to chasestevensbookings@yahoo.com. And, you know, you can find me on Facebook. Outside of all the fakes that's out there, Chase Stevens. You'll get me. The rest of them look like fakes. So I'm easy to find.
All right. Well, we are about out of time. Did you guys have anything else for Chase before we let him go?
I think I'm good right now. I'd love to, if it's okay with you, Jonathan, we need to try to get him back on because I'm sure he's got more stories to tell us and, you know, lessons to teach the young ones.
Yeah, definitely.
I can talk all day, man. You just keep me on there and I'll keep going.
Yeah, this is one of those weeks I just enjoy listening, to be honest.
Hi, thanks, man. I appreciate you guys even having me on.
All right, well, we appreciate you calling, and maybe you can call in sometime after this this show you're doing in Columbus and let us know how that goes.
Yeah, just, you know, shoot me an email or Facebook or whatever, and I'll be happy to. Just let me know when you need me on.
All right, sounds good. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks, man.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Take care. Be safe on your drive, bro.
I just got home, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys take care, and glad you made it home. You guys take care, guys.
Yes.
Have a good
night.
All right. You too. All right. Well, next week we will be airing on Tuesday, the 29th, instead of Monday, and our guests will be Mr. Wrestling 2 and Randy Rose, who are both going to be at and Todd Howard, who I guess is the promoter for the Mr. Wrestling 2 show. Let me pull that information up.
It'll be May 3rd. I believe it's somewhere in Marietta, I believe. I'm not sure the location.
Yeah. North Cobb High School Gym in Kennesaw, actually.
Yes.
But we'll be talking to those guys about that event. Again, it'll be next Tuesday instead of Monday. And I guess that's about it. Are there any shows of particular interest?
I know Empire's running in Rossville, and let's see here. UIW has a Friday night show where the usual suspects are going to end the career of Steve the Brawler Lawler for a second time. It's the first time ever that Murder One will face the man that trained him. Also, Steve Lawler trained Buff Bagwell, so this is going to be a very important matchup in the career of Murder One and the usual suspects and the Blacklist and the Dark City. So if you are in the West Georgia area, you should go check that one out. I believe Anarchy will be running Saturday. Is that correct?
Yes. And NWA Atlanta is doing its War Games, annual War Games show on Saturday as well down in Stockbridge. And it looks like Deep Southern Championship Wrestling is doing a show on Thursday in Rome as well as on Saturday in Blue Ridge.
Hmm.
Let me tell you guys a little bit about the PCW Spring Olympics tomorrow. I found a little more about that after we talked last week.
Yes, please do.
Never fear, Josh. No one is stealing your judging concept.
Yes, it's going to make so much money. Yes.
It's going to be three matches, best I can tell, all of them multi-participant for a series of platinum medals. And the cool thing is it's not going to be just the top PCW stars. It's top guys from all over the state. They're bringing in Strychnine. They're bringing in Rick Michaels, Simon Sermon, Sean Tempers, Kyle Matthews, alongside the PCW mainstays like Shane Marks, Chip Day. And as of last time I checked, they're still advertising De La Vega, so this may be your last chance to see De La Vega in the state of Georgia.
And what is this show?
This is tomorrow night at the Actors Express. King Plow
wow.
Studios, look it up. Doors open at 7:30. Bell time is at 8.
Should be a very interesting show, and I look forward to hearing exactly how that show happens
next week.
Yeah. And, of course, East Coast Wrestling Entertainment is in College Park at the Brady Recreation Center this Sunday, which
yes.
features a lot of the people from NWA Atlanta and
Yeah, it's kind of like an NWA Atlanta, UIW, Peach State hybrid thing, and a few WA4 talents as well.
Right. So I guess those are the major shows happening this weekend. You can, of course, go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com for more information and other on those and other upcoming events.
Also, I just want to throw this out there. If you do a show, promote a show, or on a show, and you have video footage, do not be afraid to send it my way. I won't bash you too hard unless it absolutely sucks, but I don't mind at least watching a product and putting you over if I like it. And I'm sure you guys feel the same way. You can tweet me, or you can Facebook me, or you can Instagram me, or you can Google Plus me. I'm everywhere on social media because it's my fucking job.
All right. Well, thanks to you guys, and thanks to Chase Stevens. Guess that's it for this week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.